This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're listening to Adam Barillet's All Natural this morning. We're going to cross over to New Zealand now to talk to Alan Dix, who is the marketing coordinator for Zealandia. Alan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to be talking about a tuatara today.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen some pictures of them, and they look a bit like lizards, but you're telling me that they're very different from lizards.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a superficial resemblance to lizards, and they are reptiles, but anatomically, they're completely separate, and they're actually the only surviving member of an order of reptiles called Sphenodons, which died out around 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs did, and New Zealand was the only place where the Sphenodons survived, so it's a pretty unique animal.
Wow, so you pretty much got a dinosaur in New Zealand.
Yeah, we call it the living dinosaur, and I mean, it hasn't changed very much for about 220 million years, so it's quite an incredible little animal, really.
Now, one of the things that fascinated me about it is that apparently for the first 6 months of its life, it has a legendary third eye. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not... some of the lizard species also have a remnant third eye. It's the pineal gland. In the tuatara, it's particularly pronounced. In the first few months, like you say, it has this little white patch on its forehead. We're not really sure what it uses it for. I mean, scientists do think that at some point it was a fully functioning third eye, but now it's more like a light-sensitive patch, and it may control the body temperature or the have some kind of influence on the tuatara, but we're not really sure. So it's something that is still being studied, and yeah, it disappears completely after about 6 months and kind of covers over, and then you don't see it anymore, but it's still there. It's the pineal gland just under the surface of the skin in the middle of its forehead.
Wow, that's a fascinating feature about it.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I've noticed as well, I've been looking at the breeding habits of the tuatara, and they must be a bit hard. They take a while to breed, don't they? The females don't reach fertility for about 13 years?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the big problems facing the tuatara, really. It was one of the species that has become completely wiped out on the mainland of New Zealand, and probably has been for about 200 to 300 years. And its breeding cycle has got a lot to do with that, because it's got such a slow breeding cycle. The species really doesn't recover very well. So once the population was knocked down, and the reason for that was the introduction of the Polynesian rats, which came over with the first Polynesian settlers about 700-800 years ago, and that really decimated the population. And part of the reason is that because they're such slow breeders, once the numbers were knocked down, they haven't recovered quickly. And actually, apart from the animals that we have here in the sanctuary, they don't exist on the mainland anymore. They're only on the offshore islands.
Another couple of things I've noticed about that would probably hinder their breeding is basically their sex is determined by the temperature of the soil where their eggs are laid.
That's right, yeah. And I mean, who knows what effects global warming and climate change might have on the tuatara. I mean, it's... they're not the only reptile species to have that, but yeah, I mean, it could have a big impact, and they are quite, it's very fickle. It's only a matter of a couple of degrees difference, and the other factor is that those eggs are in the ground for about 16 months, so they're laid in a nest and they're not protected in any way. So again, because the eggs are lying around for 16 months, it means that they're a real easy target for rats.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And they also, the gestation actually in the female tuatara is 9 months as well?
Yeah, 9 to 12 months, I think. And again, she's very vulnerable when she's carrying eggs, because if the female tuatara gets caught by a predator, then you're going to lose that next generation.
Now, they're not even helping their own cause themselves, because the adults are cannibalistic.
Yeah, and that's our biggest concern, really, for the animals that hatched here. Although there are no predators, because we have around our sanctuary, we've got a very special mammal-proof fence which keeps out all the mammals that would prey on Tuatara. But there's nothing stopping the adult Tuatara eating the babies, and you know, for certainly until they reach maturity, they're going to be running the gauntlet of predatory adult Tuatara, and that's probably what will keep the population down a bit.
Wow! So the Tuataras, they normally meat eaters, are they? Or
yep, they're pretty they're quite omnivorous, but yeah, they'll eat certainly large insects. I mean, we've got a very large insect over here called a wetter, which is they can grow up to the size of a mouse. And tuataras will eat those. They've also been known to eat baby birds, and on some of the offshore islands, they share nests with seabirds, and they will attack the seabirds. So they're quite voracious. They're quite powerful. They've got a very powerful jaw, and yeah, they're quite big, powerful animals.
What size does the tuatara normally grow to?
Well, it can grow up to about a kilogram in weight. Certainly, the males. They can be quite chunky animals, and probably about 70 centimeters long. They're pretty stocky, and yeah, there are some big animals out there, and certainly the ones that we've got here, because they've got such large territories, they will probably do quite well and become quite sizable animals.
Now, at Zealandia, you've actually had a bit of a something exciting's happened there recently.
Yeah, well, we've, as I said, these tuatara have been extinct on the mainland of New Zealand in the wild for at least 200 years. I mean, there's no record of them, even ever since Captain Cook arrived. There hasn't actually been an official record of tuatara on the mainland. There have been sightings, and, you know, even up to the 20th century, but they've never actually been proven sightings. So this is the first time that they have been brought back to the mainland, and a couple of days ago we found our first baby, and we found it completely by mistake, or by a fluke, really. It was just spotted by one of our conservation officers, and that's definitely the first recorded baby tuatara to have hatched in the mainland since records began, so it's very exciting for us.
So at Zealandia, you basically have a breeding program and then you're releasing them, is that correct?
No, it's all in the wild, so there are breeding programs around New Zealand, but ours is the first wild population on the mainland, so basically they're fending for themselves. The nests were created in the wild by the female tuatara, and we knew of a couple of these nests, but we weren't actually monitoring them closely, because that would be a, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week monitoring. We don't have the ability to do that, so we were just very hopeful that some of the eggs would hatch, and we weren't expecting to see anything. I mean, it was a complete surprise to see that baby. So yeah, it's very different from a captive breeding program.
That's very exciting. Well, hopefully you find plenty more baby ones hatching very, very soon as well.
Yeah, well, we reckon there's probably quite a few out there. I mean, we'll see a few more around, and some of our visitors will get to see them as well, because they're pretty neat, these little babies.
Well, it's good to, for once, have a good news story about wildlife and know that numbers aren't depleting, but we're actually finding new discoveries in the wild.
Yep, it's a great news story.
Well, Alan, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
That was Alan Dix. He's the marketing coordinator for Zealandia, the Karori Sanctuary Experience over there in Wellington, New Zealand, talking about the tuataras. And I must say a big thank you as well to Jonathan for that lead for that interview. You're listening to Adam Barillet's All Natural on Joy 94.9. Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts, and thank you for supporting the Hump Day Crew and Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.